And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed, and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." This past week, I was at my nephew's house. I was at the dinner table with him. It was in the evening. He was studying AP chemistry or some class that I never took in high school, and I was studying for the sermon. So I have the text in front of me, and I'm reading it, and I'm thinking of my own questions, because I'm thinking this is kind of a difficult text to interpret. What does this mean? And I'm thinking, you know what? I've got my own questions as a pastor, but, you know, the congregation has their questions as well, and my nephew's got his questions, and I need to be aware of all of the different questions out there. So I said, "Cole," my nephew, "do you mind if I read this passage to you, and then you could tell me any questions that come up when I read it? That would help me as I'm trying to understand this passage." So I read it to him, and then I said, "So what questions do you have?" He said, "I have no idea what that's about." And I said, "Okay, good, because I don't really either at this point in the week." And so I just want to encourage you that if you heard that read just now and you feel like, "I don't know what that means," you're in good company. I mean, we're in Jesus' parables here. And there's something a little bit opaque about them anyway. And this one's particularly difficult. Now, be at ease. Your pastor has come to a very confident knowledge of what Jesus is getting at here. And I am assured that by the Spirit, you also will be confident. But I also want you to be comforted that it's not always so clear what Jesus is saying. So let's pray for his help now. Father in heaven, we pray for your Holy Spirit to help us to understand what you are saying and to respond appropriately to what you have spoken through your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I've had the privilege over the past 3 years, I think now, to be the MC at the local Dumfries Christmas Day Parade. I don't know if they know who I am, but they just have let me do it. So I think if they knew who I was, they wouldn't. But they have. And it's been a lot of fun because you just get up there, they've got the script, you just read it. And at one point, we had the yellow cabs coming through, the yellow cab taxi company. And if you needed a cab yesterday, I hope you didn't call them because they had all of their cabs out there. And you've got these shiny, they must have washed them, shiny yellow cabs. And as they went by, the light, you know, the yellow light color reminded me of a song, you know, "This little light of mine." Sing with me if you know it. "I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." I know you know this. "Hide it under a bushel. I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Okay, a lot of people know this song apparently. We don't even need it in the bulletin. We just know it by heart. And yesterday when I sang it, a lot of people out in the crowd knew it. There was a lady across the street who started like dancing and stuff. It was awesome. I didn't know I was that good of a singer. I told them, "You only get it one time free. You know, next time you got to pay." But when we sing that song in our society today, people just out and about at a Dumfries Christmas festival, may not even be Christians, they know the song, right? We know the song. But I wonder what people in our culture think the song is about, because obviously it's entirely based on this parable of Jesus about the light, the lamp, and about the bushel or the measure that you are using and hiding it under a bushel. What do we think it means? What does that song mean when you sing it? What does it mean to you? And by the time we're done with this sermon, I want you to ask yourself, was my understanding of that song in line with Jesus's understanding, what he was intending? Is that how I understand that song? So let's begin. We'll start in 4:21. We will look a little bit further back, as you can see in your bulletin. We go all the way back to verse 9. But we'll start in 21. And he, that is Jesus, said to them, it's not entirely clear who they are, but as we're going to see, it's the same group that was alone with him with the 12. Again, if you do look back to verse 10, when he was alone with those around him, with the 12, they asked him about the parables. So now we're part of that group who trust Jesus, who want understanding from Jesus. Not the outsiders, but the ones on the inside, the ones who are seeking understanding. So Jesus says to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or a bushel or even a measure? It's basically in the same word family as measure. Is that why you light a lamp? Do you light a lamp to take a cup? Let's light this Advent candle today and then do that. Is that why we do it? Good question, right? It's valid, right? Makes a lot of sense. Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? We got to think about this, right? This might take, of course not. Of course not. Jesus' words are even worded in such a way that it's like, no way! He's expecting a negative answer, a strong negative answer. Obviously no. I mean, it'd be like me saying to you, are the Dallas Cowboys going to win the Super Bowl this year? No. No, they're going to be in last place. And we all rejoice. There's always next year. I knew Colin would say something. But Jesus is expecting a negative answer. He knows, but he's getting at the purpose. What's the purpose of lighting a lamp? Is it to put it out? Is it to cover it? Is it to put it under a dining couch or a bed or something like that? No, it's to be put on a lampstand, right? There's a purpose to a lamp so that everybody can then see what wasn't seen before. So now you can have meal and you can have fellowship inside of a dwelling place, right? That's why you have a lamp. Now this is the story part of the parable. Jesus is giving us a little story, right? You can imagine a man in the first century with one of those little clay lamps with oil inside and he lights it and he, you know, does the silly, insane thing with it. Why would he put it under a bushel? No, he puts it on a lampstand. That's the story part. And it grips all of us. You can't forget the stories. Jesus is a wonderful teacher because he uses these wonderful stories. You can't forget them. But with the story, there's always the meaning. So what is the meaning then for those on the inside? In particular, what is the lamp? What is this lamp? Well, let's read on. Verse 22, for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. What is this secret? What is this hidden thing? The lamp is being compared to a secret. The lamp is being compared to a hidden thing. Well, where else in the Gospel of Mark, we should start there, do we see a secret? Well, it's right there in the context, actually. If we go back earlier in chapter 4, in verse 10, you can look there in your bulletins, we do have 10 listed. When Jesus was alone with those around him, with the 12, they asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those who are not inside with me, but for those outside, everything is in parables. So that they may indeed see, but not perceive. They may indeed hear, but not understand. So just by talking about the lamp, we've got this idea of those who are outside and those who are inside a dwelling where you need a lamp, right? And the lamp has been brought out. The secret of the kingdom of God, the explanation of Jesus' teaching about God, about his kingdom, about his rule, about his Messiah, about the human heart, about what God is about. That secret, that explanation of Jesus' actions and words is given to those inside. That secret of the kingdom of God is that lamp. Jesus is, in essence, that lamp himself, as he is the ultimate mode of God's fulfillment of all revelation, clarifying everything revealed in the Old Testament, clarifying everything revealed in creation about our Creator. And that lamp is brought out. And just by virtue of there being some who are interested enough to say, what do you mean? What does this mean? There is going to be outsiders and there are going to be insiders. Now, here's the temptation for us. We are insiders. We're with Jesus. We've got the lamp. We've got the light. Guess who doesn't? Outsiders. Those outside, they're lost. They are sinful. They don't have the secret. They don't know. They don't have understanding. They can't hear. They're blind. They're deaf. You see everything that's wrong with them? You see? And Jesus is saying, No. That's not why I have come to bring the lamp. I haven't given you the secret of the kingdom of God so that you can be prideful and point out everything that's wrong with those outside. I have brought the lamp so that, like a light, when you bring light, now you can see. You can see inside this room we're in. You can see things that maybe are hidden to your eyes, but are not hidden to God's eyes. And maybe you even are aware of them and you do a good job at hiding them from others. But the lamp has come in order to reveal your hardness of heart, in order to reveal and emphasize your hidden sin, to bring out that which is hidden about you, not those outside. No, you've been given the secret, so that which is hidden will be revealed. Now, when we hear that, when they hear that, they might say, maybe I don't want to know what he's going to reveal about that, because put that out right quick. Yeah. All right. So I have Jesus, but and now I can just talk about them. I don't want anybody to know about what's going on in here. And I certainly don't want to know about it. I want to keep that thing out. That's not why I came and got into this whole church business. I didn't join a church so that my heart can be revealed, so that the hardness of my heart can be shown. But if you've joined a church for that reason, then you've joined it for all the wrong reasons. And you will not gain any benefit from Jesus whatsoever. Because first things first, the light comes to reveal the hardness of heart and the hidden sin of his disciples. Look even further down the line in chapter 8, if you have your Bibles with you this morning. Just because the apostles are with him doesn't mean that hardness of heart isn't present. Let's start in verse 14 of chapter 8. Now, the disciples had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear?" So the lamp comes not because, well, we are extra special people who just have a greater intellect or just greater moral ability than the rest of the folks in the world? No, by God's grace, we have been mysteriously gathered to Jesus, not so that we can look down on the rest of the world, but so that the hardness of heart that is within us can consistently and regularly be revealed, and we will be open and vulnerable to it. But do you see the insanity of sin? Do you see the actual insanity of it? That we would say, oh, we're inside with Jesus, light the lamp, and then put the lamp out? That's insane, but that is what our temptation is. We are actually doing that when we move from hearing Jesus' word to immediately hardening our hearts and pointing at everybody else outside. Those homosexuals, those liberals, those whatever. No, he brought the lamp in for us to be revealed and then to be healed. So here are a couple applications. As you come to church on Sunday especially, and you come to sit under God's word, and you notice that as application comes or as the word is explained or something like that, and you notice, I'm thinking about my boss right now and how much he needs that scumbag unbeliever. Or, I'm thinking about my neighbor right now who's got that drinking problem. Or I'm thinking about my family who doesn't know Christ and how much they need this. Then you are doing that very insane thing of lighting a lamp and then putting it out. And you have to, by the Spirit, recorrect. No, the word is for us. The word is for me. And this is about opening myself up and being vulnerable to God's word, trusting him that he will heal even as he reveals. Another thing is, for those who live in the D.C. area, and even for a church where many of us are involved in the Pentagon and all kinds of things, politics, we live in a nation where there's regularly somebody being voted on, right? And whenever someone's being voted on, that means there's regularly politicians on several different sides casting aspersion on the other, constantly pointing at the other and saying, look how bad they are, but we, the party that has the light, we are perfect. We will never look at our own selves. I mean, never say we did something wrong, right? That's just the way it goes. Now, we all probably disagree with that on some level, but we have to be aware that these people have power. They're regularly on TV. They might regularly be on our email feeds or news feeds, and it's very easy to say, look at these people in power. Look at these people who have success. This is how they do business, and maybe that's not all bad. Maybe we should take on some of that and imitate a little bit of that as we seek to accomplish our mission as the church. Don't do it. I'm as tempted as you are. Don't do it. Jesus has come to us, and he's come on the inside and come near with the secret so that we can be healed of our hardness of heart, of our hiddenness of sin, not so that we can stand in pride and point everybody else's stuff out. Now, that's the insanity of sin. But there's also the insanity of grace that Jesus teaches about in his parables. I know some of you are just sitting there, light the candle, light the candle, light the candle. Okay, so I lit the candle. Now you can focus. Okay, moving on now. Back to chapter 4. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. If anyone has ears, everybody have ears in here? Okay? You have them, right? They're yours. They're on your head. Ears. You have ears. I have a reason for emphasizing this. Listening is very important in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 2, God speaks to the people. He speaks to Adam and Eve, and he gives them instruction. He says, go out and have a wild good time in this world. Spread my image far and wide. This is a wonderful place that I've created for you to live life and build culture and make businesses and do wonderful things. Have a great time. Adam, by the way, here's a wife. Just go and have a great time. But there's one thing I'm not giving you. It's not a gift. It's not to be taken. It's this tree. It's bad for you. Do not. So they were listening. They were doing. They were walking with him in the cool of the day. They were enjoying life. And then somebody else comes in and starts speaking. And Eve listens. She hears. And listening, she sees differently. Her perspective on the tree changes. She's like, you know what? Maybe it doesn't look that bad. And she takes it and she gets deformed. And Adam takes it and he gets deformed. The image of God is still there. It's not completely destroyed in them, but it's like a ruined castle. You can see something of its former glory, but it's in ruins. Deformed by listening to the wrong voice. Now, Jesus, God incarnate, God and man, comes to the people and he is speaking yet again so that they might be transformed as image bearers, even bearing the image of Christ as they hear. So take care how you hear. If you have those ears, use them. Look at how you hear. Be aware of how you hear. Because it means everything. God's word, Jesus Christ, the scriptures are a means to what you most need, the renewal of the image of God in you. So take care how you hear. He said to them, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, this word measure, like I mentioned earlier, is in the same kind of family of words as like the basket that they put the light, the lamp out with. So it'd be like somebody having a measuring cup, you could imagine, or a mug, and then taking it and putting out the light, right? That was the first part of the parable. But now they've got the measure. The light is going. There are people who are vulnerable, open to what God has to tell them about who they truly are and who Christ truly is for them. They're open to that. They have their cup. They have their measure. And they're saying, I want it to be filled. I'm coming to have it filled. Well, Jesus says, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure that you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. So not only what you bring, but it's going to be like heaping. He's just going to keep pouring. It's going to run down your hand. It's going to be overflowing. So let me ask you, and maybe even invite, would there be maybe a first through third grader who'd like to come up and help me out with this illustration? Anyone, maybe first through third grade? Fourth grade. I'll take fourth graders. Do I have a taker? Come on down. Come on down. All right. It's Keaton. Okay. Now, Keaton's going to help me with this because Jesus asks another question that maybe it's a really hard one to figure out. All right, Keaton, let's face everybody here. Okay. And you're going to help us figure out what Jesus is saying. If I said to you, what do you like to drink? Hot chocolate. Perfect. Seasonal. Okay. Now, if I said to you, Keaton, I can give you as much hot chocolate, okay, as you can fit in any container in front of you. And not only that, but with that container, I'll even give you more. Which one of these containers would you bring to me? The big one? Okay, so he would get this one out. Now, Keaton, why would you bring the largest one that I have? We did not plan this. We did not plan this. Thank you, Keaton. Thank you very much. Keaton is making my point for me. He's making Jesus' point for him. He said, and pay attention to what you hear with the measure you use. It will be measured to you. And more will still be added to you. So now he's not just getting at the insanity of sin. He's moved on beyond that. For those of you who aren't going to put out the light and are being willing to be open to who you truly are, and to who Christ truly is, now he's saying the insanity of grace. Yeah. As big of a container as you bring to this, that sucker is going to be filled. And more will be given to you. So, if you come to church on Sunday and you bring this mug, Jesus is saying, all right, I'll fill it up and I'll give you extra. If you come to church on Sunday and you bring this pot and say, okay, come to church, I'll fill it up, I'll give you extra. If you come to church and you bring this thing, he'll say, I will fill it up. Whatever measure you bring, and it's all free. You don't have to pay for it. It's all free. I'm going to fill this thing up and I'm going to give you more. That's the insanity of grace. There's an insanity about sin. There's also an insanity about grace. I mean, God is going to do great things through Jesus, is what he's saying. Things unimaginable to you presently, disciples, as he's speaking there in those early years of his ministry. You can't even imagine the kind of grace that is going to be available, the kinds of things that God is going to fill you with. And it's not money. It's not necessarily lands and all of that. That comes with it, but there's something even deeper, even more. It's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, which God shines in our hearts as he restores you as a human being, as Paul puts that in 2 Corinthians. And it is unimaginable. It is beyond your conception. But as much as you bring to the table to be filled, get it? To be filled, poor in spirit. To be filled, needy. To be filled, those who have nothing in the measure. For those who have nothing, bring the biggest thing you've got and I will fill it completely. But first you must be exposed by the light. You must recognize every day your poverty of spirit, your need to be filled. And you must come with the biggest measure you possibly can, and God will be faithful to give. Now we've heard this before. You've heard this application before. So come to church with expectation, right? Come to the word with great expectations. We pray about it. And that's, of course, the first step. But personally, I can say, I don't know how I've put that into practice. What does that really look like to come to church, say, or to come to a Bible study, or to come to the word in a daily devotion and actually bring, you know, not this. I mean, this would be good, of course. It's better than putting the light out. But to bring this, what does that really look like? I mean, actually, if anybody shows up with this next week, that's not how it's supposed to go, right? We're not actually supposed to bring dump trucks to church to have them filled up. So what does it look like, right? How do we do that? Well, it begins with coming to learn and not just to confirm. We don't come to the word to just confirm that I'm already full. I got this. I know it. You know, this sucker is so full, you wouldn't even believe it. We don't come to confirm it and maybe then to also say, yep, mine is full, yours isn't, right? We come to learn, to ask questions, to say, yes, I have had this filled before. God has filled it. I do have something of knowledge. Like Paul says in Philippians 2, if you have any encouragement in Christ, any fellowship in the Spirit, God has given you things before. That's okay to say, but we leave that in the background. It's there. It's not going anywhere. God's given it to us. It's ours. But now we're moving forward. We're saying, what do I have to learn? I'm coming. I recognize I still have poverty of spirit. I still have a great deal to learn. I still have so much that I need from God and from Christ. So coming not to church with confirmation that I already know, but coming to church to seek understanding, to learn, asking questions, wondering a bit about, well, where is Pastor Don going with this? What is he going to say about this? How does that apply to my life? Have I gotten it right in the past? Maybe I didn't. So having that sort of attitude is part of what it means to have great expectations, that there is something to be given. If we think we've already got it, we've already arrived, of course, then Jesus can't fill up the pot anymore. It also means, and this is sort of for you when you are interacting with those outside and they say, well, I think you guys do those responsive readings in your church and, you know, people, you do these Bible studies and stuff. To me, it just seems like brainwashing. You know, Christianity just seems like brainwashing. Sunday worship seems like brainwashing, you know. You just come and you sit there and people tell you things and you just, this is not brainwashing. Jesus is not presenting discipleship as brainwashing because it does involve you bringing a measure. He never wanted it to be brainwashing. God has set this up so that Jesus is the lamp. He is the light. He comes, and to those who trust him, they come inside, but they are expected to hold out a measure. They are expected to offer themselves to that light, so that they might fully understand themselves and Christ and God. But it's not brainwashing. It's an offering up of yourself willingly and engaging with it and seeking to learn from and gain from Christ. So, now we come back to that song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. What did we think of that song at first? Was our original thinking about that song along the same lines as what Jesus is getting at here? Do we realize that first and foremost, that lamp, that shining, it comes from outside of us first? And yes, it might be a little light because we are small people that possess it, but it is the great light. It is the great light of Jesus Christ that is the lamp. And yes, as that light shines, we become something more special than we could ever have dreamed of in the renewal of our humanity. But at the same time, that first means recognizing that we are not light in and of ourselves. That we have hidden sin, that we have a hidden hardness to God and his word. We have a hidden desire to live independently of God and independently of his ways, and not to fully depend on him for life, not to be filled by him. But if we will expose ourselves to the light and bring the biggest measure that you can possibly do, then you will be filled with the light. Jesus Christ makes his home in you, and he shines bright, and you should sing, church, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Sing, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hold on. Hide it under a bushel. I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to help us to keep from the insanity of seeking to put your light out when the whole purpose is that we be healed by you who have died for our sins, have been resurrected from the dead, so that the life of the Holy Spirit can restore us to the image of Christ. Father, we pray that you would help us to learn to be learners and that you would help us to be effective witnesses making your light known. Please do this for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.